Hello, and welcome to Too Many RPGs, a show about RPG shows.
We basically find someone, and they talk to us about their show for an hour, or not their show. Sometimes it's just a show they enjoy, and we talk about it.
Sometimes it is their show, but not today.
That is not the case today.
Not today. I am your host, Lauren.
I am the other host, Ethan.
You changed the bit.
What bit?
We had a bit. It was a joke. Am I supposed to tell a joke now? Because I am not nearly as good at telling jokes as you are.
I thought we were trying to become a serious podcast. We're at episode 8. We got to get serious, right? We started writing scripts for things.
It's true.
Like on the outro.
We have a script.
Just for the outro, because you can't script an interview. Then it wouldn't be an interview.
No.
Then it would be a script review.
Here's my question. Why haven't we written a script for the intro so that when you don't do the bit that I'm expecting...
Because that's part of the bit, is that you don't expect whatever...
But you said there was no bit, because we're... I don't even know.
Good podcasting.
Part of the... I don't even know what we're doing anymore, Ethan.
We're becoming professional podcasters.
So professional.
Should we bring in our guests so we can stop being ridiculous?
Yeah. Here's Mariah talking about Thrilling Intent.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Excited to talk about this good show that I like a lot.
Yeah, so tell us, what is Thrilling Intent?
So, I wouldn't really call it, like, a podcast, per se. Its main home, you can certainly listen to it on iTunes, I'm pretty sure. I know they had an iTunes account at one point, but it's mainly a YouTube show. The episodes are, like, about 15 minutes most of the time. Like, not usually more than 30. They're, like, a D&D campaign, or, well, D&D Pathfinder sort of hybrid campaign that follow the three main characters. Gregor Hartway, a human, like, very good fighty boy. Marcus Velafi, a very flamboyant tiefling. And then Ashling, or Ash, who is, like, a reclusive kind of curmudgeon-y, but, like, heart of gold. Technically human, but kind of magical. Has a little bit of a magical backstory. And yeah, that's kind of the premise, a little bit.
All right. And this show has been going on. I did some research. It's been going on since, like, yeah, 2013.
Yeah.
That's a very long time for a show to run. That's 5 years.
Yeah.
And I want to know, has it always been these three characters? If so, are they level 57? Like,
yeah, so it's been these three characters the whole time. There's, like, a wide cast of NPCs, and some of them kind of operate a little bit like GMPCs to flesh out the party at times a little bit more. But yeah, it's that main three central cast and just their adventures and what they're up to. I didn't really, like, think about it as being 5 years old, but, like, yeah, that's kind of a long time for a single campaign to be going, so.
I'm just confused. This is really hard when we've already asked all the questions and I know all the answers. My goodness.
Maybe we should ask new questions.
Maybe I should ask new questions, but what would the listeners want to know?
I guess I think I gotta burn the bridge. We already recorded this, and I've forgotten all the things that I talked about last time. I know I did talk about, though, that the channel has a little bit more far-reaching besides just Thrilling Intent, the show. So the group itself goes by the Third Wheel. That's what most of their handles are. Thrilling Intent is their main show, but they do also do live stream play sessions. And for those, they play different characters in, like, a big variety of settings and systems. So, like, some of them are Tenshi Banner Zero, and they've done Golden Sky Stories, and Ryutama, which are both very good games. And also, I didn't mention this last time, but they have done some streams for Spell the RPG, which is made by my very sweet partner, Taylor Smith.
That's really fun and exciting. Yeah. We like Taylor a lot here on the show.
Me too.
That's probably the most important part.
Yeah.
Explain, because this is this story of Thrilling Intent and how it's been going on for 5 years and why it can go on for 5 years without getting stale. Can you kind of walk us through the premise of it again?
So the sort of opening arc for the story, where all the three come together, is that they've all been hired in one capacity or another to come into this sort of, like, corporate run, really watered down, like, theme park, sort of, like, almost like LARP for adventuring. So, like, regular level, like, not even level characters or, like, NPCs come there to, like, get the adventuring kind of experience without actually having to go out into dangerous situations and adventure. But there's, like, actually some danger present in this place that the adventuring party has been hired to deal with. And kind of in the process, they are sort of deemed to be, like, a natural disaster and expelled from that country at the very end. Which is a thing I forgot to mention last time, but yeah, so the country that runs this place is all about, like, contracts, and it's like if, like, Target or some other large corporation ran a country.
I'm trying to think of, like, Target the country. I mean, Target is very, very large.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost kind of feels like its own country, like when you go into a Target.
And while you've been thinking about that, I've been thinking about how you would market the Tomb of Annihilation to be a theme park.
Oh.
Just like, find a mega dungeon, make it an amusement park, heavy quotation ear bunny marks. And say, this is the tomb of action and excitement.
Before Tales from the Yawning Portal came out, I played a very heavily nerfed and converted version of Tomb of Horrors that my GM called, like, the Tomb of Kittens, Puppies, and Fluffy Bunnies.
Oh, that sounds great.
And, like, for flavor, all of the, like, you know, like, the big mouth. I don't know what it's called, the, like, Hole of Annihilation or whatever it is, like the big mouth where
the Sphere of Annihilation.
It's not a sphere. It's like a thing in the wall, and if you walk through it, you disappear. I don't know. It's similar, but different.
Okay.
It's like a sphere, but it's a hole in the wall.
Got it.
Huh.
He described, like, all of the devils and liches and all of those things as, like, there are kittens and puppies on the wall.
Oh, no. I would much rather have to fight a lich than a puppy.
Yeah.
Do you fight the puppy, or do you just, like, snuggle him? Like, is that how you deal damage?
I'm just like, I think that's how it deals damage to you.
Oh.
With the snuggles? Yeah.
It just reduces your resolve to fight.
Oh, no.
That's my least favorite thing about games is when the, like, especially Mario games, is that the enemies are just so darn cute.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to fight you. Yoshi's Woolly World is the worst for it, because I just want to be friends with every single one of those enemies. And I'm like, I feel bad about jumping on your head, but I have to.
I gotta get to the end. Gosh.
But anyway. Theme park.
So theme park.
LARP.
LARP.
I still can't get over that there is, like, a LARP. A high fantasy LARP.
Inside of a high fantasy world.
Like, it's a meta LARP.
It's very meta, and I like it, like, a lot. It's, yeah. Especially, like, I also, to Birdwalk again, like, because, like, Disney is affiliated with, like, Kingdom Hearts, I really want them to make, like, a Kingdom Hearts LARP park where you just, like, you go in and you make your Keyblade and you get to dress like a Final Fantasy character and then go around and, I don't know, collect stamps at all the worlds or something.
Oh, and it'd be great if, like, all the doors you actually had to, like, scan your key through it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'd be good. Oh, and goodness. Holograms to, like, make all the magic look real. Oh, please. Please, Disney.
All right.
Yes, Disney, who obviously listens to this podcast.
Yes. We're very popular. All the big shots listen to Too Many RPGs. Take our ideas very, very seriously.
Very seriously.
They're just going to steal them.
Right. Well, anyway, because of the contract situation, they have to, like, sort of go to court, and Thog, the NPC that hired them for the job initially, is able to, like, finagle and loophole the rules so that they are deemed a natural disaster and therefore cannot be, like, owned or controlled by this country. So they're exiled from it, kind of.
How can three people be deemed a natural disaster?
They just pretty much destroyed the park, or, like, I don't think it was in that arc specifically, but at some point they go back to Meadshire, Meadshire number 7 in particular.
Meadshire?
Meadshire, like the drink.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah. Okay.
Meadshire.
Meadshire.
Just reminds me of the meat carnival from Psychonauts. If neither of you have played that game, I highly recommend you not look it up. It is frightening.
Okay. I know, I have not. But I have been playing a lot of Graveyard Keeper, so I have similar feelings about meat, specifically.
Meat feelings.
I have feelings about meat.
Big mood.
Yeah. Anyway. Meadshire number 7.
Meadshire number 7. It's at one point they go back and just wreck it because it's, like, abhorrent to their, like, personal beliefs about the world and, like, the way you should treat people, pretty much. But yeah, so they're, like, on a boat ride away from there to be, like, taken wherever they're gonna want to go, and they wreck on this island that's inhabited by spirit folk, which are kind of, like, they're kind of just, like, spiritual beings in the world, like, spirits in various myths, kind of. But the problem on this island is that, like, for whatever reason, nobody can die. Like, death just can't happen here, and it's ruining the natural balance of things. So the party has to, like, solve this problem, and in doing so, they discover on, like, one of the little clusters of islands that there's this abandoned old shrine where, like, people used to get together and, like, swap stories and stuff, called the Nine Shrines. And eventually, at the end of that arc, they decide to settle on that island and open an adventuring agency. So it's the Nine Shrines Adventure and Dines Bar and Adventuring Agency. And then Thog kind of manages them as they are freelanced out to do various adventuring quests for people that can't handle it themselves.
Man, I still love that. Just, like, how many fairy tales could have been totally different if you could just, like, outsource?
Man, is that just Shrek? Is that...
That is the plot of Shrek, yes.
That is... Oh, God. So, how many, like, really early aughts pop songs are in Thrilling Intent, then?
There aren't any early aughts pop songs, but there are a lot of, like, custom songs. So, Matt, the guy that plays Marcus, he does a lot of, like, singing and songwriting. So, he wrote the opening theme for the song, and then, like, also did a bunch of really cool, like, character songs for the various characters along the way. I think they have a SoundCloud where you can download all of them. I have them all on my iPod.
That's something we've not talked about, is because we did do some research, actually. Mm. Yeah, which is rare for us.
It's a new exciting thing that we're taking, new research. Exciting direction we're taking the show in. We pretend we know what we're talking about.
This show does have a surprising amount of production value. Like, it's got animation, it's got,
yeah,
instead of having, you would see in most streams these days, have like a bunch of faces and squares of the people who are playing, instead they have sort of like a visual novel, like sprite, and they're not sprites, but they're people, and they change animations for different facial expressions. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, very much like a dating sim kind of light novel sort of feel,
which is very interesting, especially when you consider that the game came out well before sort of the streaming phenomenon.
Yeah, I think it's that sort of like blend of the nerdy D&D, like, kind of actual play storytelling, and, like, also that art element that really hooked me for it, to be honest.
One of the things that I think is kind of cool about this being Thrilling Intent.
Not Dangerous Intent?
Not Dangerous Intent, which is a different thing. Thrilling Intent. One of the things that I think is really cool about this, and probably maybe a vestige of the fact that this came out before the whole boom of the actual play, is that unlike a lot of the other shows that we talk about here on Too Many RPGs, the system is really agnostic. It's not really a feature of the show at all. And you mentioned, like, you don't even really know what they're playing. Like, are they playing D&D? What edition? Any of that. It's very in the background more than most.
Yeah, like, the only reason I know that it's some sort of very heavily homebrewed version of D&D and Pathfinder is that they've, like, said that in various Q&A streams before. You really don't see many roles. Like, there are some early on, but most of the time they're when, like, somebody is critically failing or, like, succeeding in a really funny way, just to, like, show that the dice are sort of what's leading to that outcome. But I don't think there's been, like, any of that really in the last year's worth of arcs, to be honest. It's very rare that happens.
And, like, no good dice Foley, which is what we were talking about last week.
Yeah. If you want that good dice Foley, you should listen to their, like, the live streams that aren't edited, because that's got all the rolls and some good stuff like that in it, if you need it.
One of the things that I find also very different about this from other shows is that the episodes are so short.
Yeah, they're very, like, digestible. It's really easy to just kind of, like, binge them a little bit like a TV show. Like, either save them up and then watch them all in a huge chunk like I usually tend to do. Or if you want to follow along every week, they're there for that. And it's not, like, a huge time commitment the way sometimes listening to, like, an hour and a half podcast can be.
Yeah.
Or a four-hour stream.
Four-hour streams. Oh, man. Even I'm tired of 4-hour streams, and I am on the 4-hour stream.
You're on them.
And You're just like, oh gosh, why? Anyway, yeah, the episode's about, what, 20, 30 minutes long?
Yeah, I think that's the top end. I think they kind of generally fall sort of in the 15 to 18 minute range.
Wow.
Yeah, and another, like, reason that I particularly am into this show is that, so I'm an artist, and I spend a lot of my time watching shows. And by watching shows, I mean, like, mostly ignoring shows. So... It's nice that, like, there is, like, the little kind of, like, animation movements of the puppets or sprites or whatever you want to call them. But, like, underneath that is sort of, like, a Roll20 map screen, and you can see the pogs moving around. So there's still action if you want to, like, watch it. And, like, the art all looks great. Jackson, the player that plays Gregor Hartway, does an amazing job. But it's also really easy to just, like, just listen and just enjoy, like, the good jokes and the camaraderie.
And you said that you got into this a lot because you were drawing a lot of fan art.
I guess kind of my discovery story for Thrilling Intent was that, so I read a lot of webcomics and I also draw a webcomic. And part of, like, that reading and drawing process is, it used to be, like, looking at a lot of Project Wonderful ads before Project Wonderful went down this year.
Rip. I loved Project Wonderful. It was so good.
It was so good in a lot of ways. It's very sad that it's gone. But I saw an ad that they had on, like, one of my favorite webcomics, and I was like, oh, this art looks amazing. I hope it's for, like, a really cool comic. And so I clicked on it, and I was like, whoa, this is a YouTube show? Like, what are they playing a tabletop game? Oh my gosh, like, it was also, like, right when I was starting to really get into tabletop gaming, too. So I was like, oh, this is amazing that somebody is, like, doing this kind of show. I want to learn more about it and, like, get into it. And I just ended up really liking it. And, yeah. And I think, too, for me, it really kind of, like, satisfies that itch of, like, how do I describe it? So, I guess the thing about me is that, like, I really got into the, like, anime and manga boom of, like, the early 2000s. Like, when Tokyo Pop and Viz were, like, in their heyday of putting stuff out. And, like, Toonami was a thing. And so, like, I really liked those old kind of, like, 90s, 2000s anime shows. And it's just like, ah, that shonen power, fill me with energy, we're all friends, we're gonna do a great job and be a team together and, like, save people. And, like, this show, like, really, like, tapped into that vein for me. Like, another part of being that kind of kid in that time period was that, like, art classes were kind of, like, rough as a person that liked to draw anime style, or, like, something approximate to anime style. Like, I think any art kids even now, like, art teachers, I think, are still kind of in that way of thinking, like, oh, anime is not a real art style, you should draw anything else.
When I was taking art classes in high school, I was told that video games were a fad, so, you know.
And comic art in general, like, it's all very, very simple. Like, this stuff that's made for, like, mass-produced and, like, let's be real, teenage girls is generally devalued.
Yeah, because what do teenage girls know? It's not like they have money or, I don't know.
Yeah, like, anything that's kind of marketed towards children or kind of, like, because in Japan, they churn out manga, like... weekly, all the time. Anybody who likes manga, like, you know, you see their collection of 50 books that are, like, you know, hundreds of pages long. And so there's this idea that, like, mass-produced art is less valuable than, like, art that takes you 3 hours to do, which I think is wrong.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Similar thing in music when people talk about, like, pop music or songs that have really simple hooks and really simple chord progressions and, you know, not a lot of lyrics, and they're like, oh, they're so bad. And I'm like, no, they just made something really, really good with the smallest effort needed. Like, that's a very good skill for longevity and creation output.
Yeah, totally agree. Part of the byproduct of having, like, teachers say that kind of thing to me was that before I had really liked doing fan art of the shows that I loved. But, like, after having people, like, say that to me, I was like, oh, I shouldn't draw fan art anymore. Like, I should only draw, like, either original characters or, like, I don't know, just not fan art. But, like, Thrilling Intent really got me back into, like, the sort of headspace to be able to, like, tap into that fan zone again. And, like, I'm super appreciative for that because it's, fan art's great. Everyone should draw fan art of the things that they love and, like, just really like show how much they love stuff.
And Thrilling Intent, you mentioned, is very good at showing off their fan art, right?
Yeah, they've got like a super great fan community, and they also like, I think in part the community is so great because they like really like care about the community and want to see like it be a good place. And part of the way that they do that is that they have this thing called the fan art fridge, which like, so like literally they've got like an in-setting NPC made refrigerator that they like hang all of the fan art on.
How big is this refrigerator?
It's huge. Oh my god, there's so much fan art.
Is it like a monolith to the gods of art? Like, here is all the art. We have put it on this fridge.
It's not the physical size of the fridge. It's like the metaphysical size of the fridge. Like, there's always space on it, even though it's a regular fridge.
Right.
Of course.
But yeah, so the way, what they originally did was, like, they would have episodes that were the players talking in character about the fan art as they put it up on the fridge, and just kind of, like, riffing off each other about their opinions about, like, the ideas the fan art was communicating and, like, how good it was. But things kind of got out of hand the more fan art was being made. So eventually they changed the model to, now at the end of each episode during the credit sequence, where, like, part of the end credit sequence is that they've got character sheets for all the characters, so you can kind of, like, see them as they progress through levels. And they also, like, I actually don't know if they still do this. They used to do this thing where they would give grades for various things that the characters did during the episode. So, like, F for sneaking, A for crying, or, like...
That is also very Japanese RPG, right? Like...
yeah, it's, yeah. Like, yeah. Very, like, Devil May Cry stylish, kind of. Yeah. But yeah, so they've got like that, and then they've got a credit scroll for all of the patrons they have on Patreon to like throw a nice shout out to them. And then they've got a little like space for fan art to pop up, and they usually show about 3 fan arts per episode.
A lot of fan art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes there's less. Sometimes there's less. Occasionally they have weeks where they don't have one, but there's usually pretty typically 3 per episode.
It's sad that they can't do the fan art like in the way they used to, because that sounds like really fun and exciting, but it's also kind of like wonderful that they're just like, oh my god, there's so many people who like this. We're getting so much fan art that like we cannot sustainably do this. Like,
yeah, I feel the same way.
Too much appreciation. Oh my
god. Oh man, what a terrible thing. Yeah.
So there are 250 something episodes?
Yeah, something like that.
245, I think.
So what is your favorite arc of the show? Like, what's really sold you on this show?
My favorite arc of the show definitely has to be Wizard High School.
Such a good title. Just,
yeah. And the title card of it, like, really, like, well kind of sums up the vibe of the show. Like, it's all of the characters kind of in, like, very shoujo high school kind of, like, poses and, like, doing expressions that, like, you'd see for covers for that kind of genre of thing. Yeah, it's very good.
And so what, like, what happens in, are they, do they go back to high school? Like...
Do they all take levels in Wizard?
Not exactly. This arc is after they've been established as an adventuring agency, and this is, I think, maybe their first, like, official job that they take. This NPC, who later becomes one of, like, my favorite party NPCs, is named Inian. She's a member of the Runecarvers Guild, and she's a witch. And she had all of her money stolen by another ex-member of that guild, who took all of it and took a bunch of his friends and made a wizard tower, where they're doing some nefarious wizard stuff with all of her money, and she wants the party to get all of her money back from these jerks in the wizard tower. And so, while the wizard tower is not specifically a wizard high school, the moment Marcus hears wizard tower, he's like, oh, it's wizard high school. I'm going back to high school. Oh no, I've gotta overcome all of my, like, past demons of being an awkward teen sorcerer and... like, who the teachers didn't appreciate all the glitter on all of my conjurations or how weird and sweaty my imps were. I gotta be the cool kid now. I gotta go back and I didn't mention this last time, but they all take on, like, wizard high school personas. So Marcus becomes Horatio Protagonist. He wears sunglasses, and he's that kid from high school that always carried a guitar around with him.
Oh my god.
Just very cool. Gregor becomes Gregor's evil twin because he's not very good at lying, so...
He's just a worse version of himself.
Yeah.
What a sweet muffin he just sounds like.
He's a very sweet muffin. Very good way to describe Gregor as a sweet muffin. And then Ash becomes Kelly, and they all make fun of her for going with such, like, a boring, ordinary name. And then Thog also is along for the ride for this adventure, and he is Wizard Dan, which he also is not good at being creative with names.
Wait. They make fun of her name for being Kelly when Gregor is just Gregor's evil brother.
Gregor's evil twin, specifically. I think just the party... Ash is really easy to make fun of because she, like, takes herself really seriously in a way some of the time. She doesn't have that, like, wide-eyed sort of innocence that Gregor has, even though Gregor is, like, will stone-cold murder any monster he comes across. Like, he's still very much, like, the good guy, the good big-hearted guy. Whereas Ash is a lot more curmudgeonly and is easier to pick on, I think, a little bit.
That's such a trope in games, like the soft-hearted murder machine.
Yeah.
And I fall for them every time.
Yeah.
Like, every single time I'm just like, oh, you're so cute. Like Chewbacca in Star Wars, who's my favorite. He's just, he will rip your arms off.
But oh man, is he fluffy.
He cares so much about everybody and everything, and it's very wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I can go on for a long time about how much... Chewbacca is the heart of the entire Star Wars universe. But we're talking about Thrilling Intent.
We're talking about Thrilling Intent.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Sorcelock, because I'm not over
it. Sorcelock, as a word, explains so much about the character. So we have the Sorcelock. You don't need any other words. You know that they're pretentious, glittery, and... Yeah. Would have a surnamed Horatio Protagonist.
As an alter ego, yeah.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
And then you have the sweet muffin murder machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the curmudgeon.
This is very, they're very archetypical, and...
That's fun.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's fun. It's really interesting. And it seems like the show's very episodic. Like, I remember reading a comment that someone said, like, because it's in the theme song, oh, it's No Time Has Passed or something.
Yeah.
And someone said, like, yeah, I cannot watch the show for a while, for a few months, and then I can come back to the newest episode and immediately be back into it.
Which is interesting about archetypes, right? Because mm-hmm. you know who these characters are, and if you've seen an arc similar, you kind of understand it. You could miss a chunk and be like, oh, yeah, they're on this part of the arc. Okay, I understand where they are. You're talking about the high school episode is a very, like, growing for his character, the Sorcelock.
Yeah, I think part of the reason I like this arc in particular is because, like, up until this point, I had always kind of had a little bit of a hard time with Marcus because he's definitely, like, that flamboyant, like, very into himself, sort of extroverted kind of character. And, like, so I guess a little bit of background about me for gaming purposes. Most of my gaming experience has been via LARP, which is, like, you go to a place for 4 to 5 hours and, like, role play with a bunch of people that you wouldn't normally choose to role play with, and you have to deal with a lot of different personalities. So, like, Marcus was a hard one for me to get, like, into because that sort of, like, gamer personality persona hasn't usually jived well with me in my own play experiences. But there's, like, the way that this arc kind of, like, addresses all those, like, insecurities of, like, not only Marcus but the other characters too, like, especially, like, those insecurities you have in high school, like, when they're so, like, heightened by, like, hormones and, like, not knowing who you are and stuff like that, like, really made me come around and, like, learn to, like, love and appreciate him for the whole character that he is. Yeah. Because, like, I think that's the other thing, too, that I really love about these characters. Like, they do have that really strong sort of archetypical role, but they aren't stereotypical about it. So they still have a lot of, like, depth and individuality.
Which is important.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. This is so weird. We've never done this before. So I want to tell you, Mariah, that yesterday, while we were planning all this stuff, Ethan was like, oh, I'm just dreading the day when we do a recording and someone says, oh, I didn't press record.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's happened to me before.
I was like, don't say that. You'll bait it into happening.
Yesterday must have just been a cursed day because, like, all of the weird internet demons, like, getting the actual voices to come through for everybody and then, like, me having weird audacity troubles and not recording, like, oh my gosh. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
just very, very cursed.
We have fought all the demons.
We did.
We are currently succeeding.
We fought all the demons.
We are currently succeeding, right? Are we all recording?
Yes, I am 100% recording. Don't worry.
Okay. Heart just did a thing.
We're so paranoid now, but it's very weird. I'm having a lot of, what do we talk about? Do we tell the same jokes that we told before? Do we not tell the same jokes that we told before?
Like, I know, it's like, I'm trying to straddle that line too, of like being organic, but still hitting the good points.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's going good. I feel like I'm doing good.
Yeah, I feel like we're having a good conversation.
Having a good time.
Okay, so you've talked a lot about like really good kind of, this is a more lighthearted show.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely like fun, upbeat thing. Was there a moment that made you cry? Like, was there a moment that really tugged at your heartstrings and was unexpected?
I am sure that there have been multiple moments. I will, just to be like completely upfront and honest, I took a little, like, so I like to binge listen. And about a year ago, I just kind of like dropped off of the archive, and I hadn't realized it had been a year until yesterday when I went back and was like, oh, I should try to catch up. I'm like, oh no, there's far too many episodes for me to catch up 100%. So some of those like big emotional moments I don't necessarily like still remember. One of them that I do remember though, because since I got this question yesterday, I was thinking about it overnight, is actually in this arc. It has to do with Ash. So Ash, like her whole deal is that she is from like a really small island community where like her family has been the guardians of, and they inherit this ancient power that like kind of allows them to do sort of earth magic a little bit. Like she's got some limited kind of healing stuff, and then like can summon a big old hand of moss and stone to like punch and rip apart stuff. But she has a lot of like unacceptance around it in the beginning, because like, so she was on the island, she was like basically treated like royalty because she had this power, but like it wasn't a power she asked for, and she didn't want to be treated that way, so she ran away from home and then joined this weird misfit group of adventurers. And a lot of like the things she has to deal with in this arc is kind of sort of like, she's a very private person, and this arc is kind of where she starts to open up a little bit more. It's not where she like fully opens up about it, but like just sort of those first moments of her like talking about it were really like heart-wrenching for me, because it's just really got me. Faye, who plays Ash, like just is a really great role player, and it's great to listen to.
We talked a little bit about live streams of other shows every so often to kind of break up the show. And is that like on Twitch? Do they do it on YouTube? Like,
I think they do both. I know that I watched most of the streams that I watched like in real time on YouTube, but I think they were also having one of the other players doing on Twitch as well. They do have a Twitch channel. All of the archive gets put back onto YouTube though once they've done any of it. And like a couple of them also have their own Twitch channels if you're interested in going and checking out the other stuff they do, not like specifically part of this channel. But yeah, so they do those. Oh geez, I lost what the question was. I'm sorry.
It's just like, do they stream on Twitch? Do they, you know, their other stuff? And is it always like the same characters? Is it different characters? Do they try and make it fit into the setting?
Usually for the streams, it's not the same characters or setting, I don't think. I don't think they've ever done a specifically Thrilling Intent stream. They most of the time it's a different setting with completely different characters, and oftentimes a different system. And like a lot of the time too, they'll pull in other like new players as well. Like it isn't always the same for the, and it's not always the same GM either. Faye does a lot of the GMing, and I think it's pretty much just Faye and Jay, the Thrilling Intent GM, that do that. But yeah, they've got a wide gamut of kind of streams that you can get into and listen to.
And what was your favorite?
My favorite of their, so the streams sometimes are connected to each other. So I know they've done like several Tanchiban or Zero streams that have the same characters doing the same stuff within that universe, as well as like Golden Sky Stories. They have a connected universe within itself, and also Ryutama has a couple streams. I think there's like three or four for each of those ones. Those two are my favorite. I really like the Golden Sky Stories and Ryutama. There is just something very pleasing about pastoral RPGs. Like, I'm really into them.
Yeah.
And like Golden Sky Stories is exceptionally cute. Like, one of the mechanics that I really love and make me really want to play that game is that whenever one of your other like fellow players does something cute, you get to say like dreams, and then they get dream points that they get to spend on stuff later. And like, I really love the kind of rewarding system of being like, oh, you're being adorable, teammate. Like, I give you a point.
Oh, this game is so good. Ethan and I read the rules of Golden Sky Stories yesterday died.
So many good things.
It's so good. It's so good.
The fact that adult is a stat.
Yeah. Adult and child.
Roll adult.
Yeah.
Can you adult? No, my adult is one.
And their, and the, you know, their abilities called like the doggy ability or like or like the weakness where you're like the fried tofu one, I can't get over it. The fox has this weakness that they can take on where they just are obsessed with fried tofu so much to the point that when they smell fried tofu, they start to transform back into animals.
Oh, that's good. I like that a lot.
Or like a cat, whenever they see, like, you know, one of those paper sliding doors or a post or anything, they just, like, have this urge to just shred it. Like, it's just...
It's very good.
Golden Sky Stories, man.
Yeah.
Too many RPGs. Talking about more RPGs.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. I just, like, got really excited about Golden Sky Stories again.
It looks like a good game.
It's very good. If I want to get into Thrilling Intent, and I go to their YouTube channel, youtube.com/thrillingintent, and I'm like, oh god, there are 245 episodes. And even though they're only 20 minutes long, that's still, like, several days.
Yes.
Of main show episodes, not including all of their spin-off series or all of their whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do I start from the beginning? Do I start from a specific arc? Can I start on yesterday's episode? Like, how does this work?
Well, okay, so I wouldn't start at yesterday's episode. I think regardless of where you decide to start, you should start at the beginning of an arc. Because, like, you could jump halfway in, but, like, all of the main plot for what's happening is going to be introduced in that first episode, so I would do that. I think you could start at the beginning. I know that the group themselves, I think when they had those Project Wonderful ads, they would link you to, I think, the fifth arc, which was the Deck of Disaster, which is the one directly before Wizard High School. I think this phenomenon is pretty common in people that create stuff. Once you've been creating it for a while, you get a little bit embarrassed of your really early work. Like, I know I definitely feel that way about my webcomics some of the time. And not to say that those early episodes aren't good, but like everything, it takes a little bit of time, like, falling into your character, and it takes a little bit of time to kind of get where the story, the overall story is going. So that said, I think you could start at the beginning. I think, though, this is probably biased because I just love Wizard High School so much. Like, I would say just start at Wizard High School. Like, just listen there. I think at that point, like, the characters have all really, like, come into their own, like, charm as people, but it's not too far into any of the sort of, like, bigger shenanigans that they get into that you would kind of need some of that early context for. So yeah, I would say start at Wizard High School if you don't want to start at the beginning.
And how much of the, like, are the arcs kind of all individual jobs? How much is it, like, kind of Monster of the Week episodic stuff, and how much is there a grand overarching plotline?
So it kind of varies. The first five arcs are sort of getting you past the introductory period to where, like, the format of the show starts. So, like, there's the beginning episode, and then there's, like, getting to the island, and then the, like, island to the point of becoming the Adventuring Guild, I think, is maybe two or three arcs in itself. And then Deck of Disaster is sort of, like, an in-between where, like, they haven't become officially the Adventuring Guild yet. Like, they haven't shouted advertisements into the ocean in hopes that people will come to hire them.
Is that really how they do it?
That's what one of the characters does to do it.
Stands on the beach. Hey! You need adventurers! Come to us!
I can't remember if the person that does that was Gregor or Kier, one of the other NPCs, who is also very good. Like, Kier and Inian are probably my favorite NPCs of the group, but yeah, it's definitely that did for real happen, shouting advertisements into the ocean. And then Wizard High School is its own arc, and then after that gets into kind of this, like, very big arc that is, like, four different arcs contained. They go to a different country and sort of become, like, champions for this country. And then, like, so this country has a guild. I think it's a guild system. I don't remember what the name is for these, like, three different groups. There's a bronze, a gold, and a... Oh, shoot, I forgot the last one. I don't know.
Is it not silver?
I don't think it's silver. It might be silver. I thought it was something weird. The third one was, like, they're very zen. Like, they're all about, like, sitting under waterfalls. Whereas, like, the gold group is about, like, going out and getting gold. And the bronze group, I think, is about, like, crafting, I think, a little bit. Like, a little bit crafting, fighting, kind of. Like, they're... Yeah, I don't know. It's a very long arc, and I forgot some of the minute details. Bad fan. I'm...
Oh my god, I can't believe you can't remember something that happened 200 episodes ago.
Oh, yeah.
My god.
But yeah, so that big arc, it's in the country of Honorant. So the, like, the, I think, Honorantian arc, or whatever you want to call it. call it. It's really huge. I wouldn't listen to, like, I would leave that. You should listen to the first arcs before you listen to that one, for sure. And then after they finish that big one, they've kind of jumped into a couple of smaller arcs. So, like, the last three arcs have been self-contained within, like, a single playlist, I guess. Like, single chapter tile kind of grouping.
Very cool. I feel like it's a big elephant in the room. Like, do we want to talk about the spell arc? Do we want to just, like...
We could talk about spell, I guess. So that's the thing, too, that I didn't necessarily super bring up. So another reason that, like, I really like Thrilling Intent is that, like, they do have that very open kind of relationship with their fan base. And, like, around, like, the time that I found them, I had been doing my webcomic online for about a year. And I was like, oh, I feel, like, a really strong kinship with this group because I seem to have very similar ideas to, like, creating content on the web that I have, and like I would like to do a thing I never do and like reach out to them and be like, hey, we should be like internet colleagues and friends if you want. And they like said yes, basically. So now I'm like, we're friends with them.
Oh, that's really lovely.
Yeah. And like Faye moved to Washington like a year or two ago and like still lives in the area, and we go and visit her a lot, or well, as much as we can. And it's a very like good friend that I appreciate a lot. So we've got like not quite like just I don't have quite just a fan relationship with them anymore. It's a different kind of thing now.
I think that's really nice, though, is that like you can start off as just like a big fan of something, and then the fact that they and this is, I think, a great thing about actual play and the smallness of it is that you can just like develop real good friendships with your fans in ways that you can't on a regular TV show, you know, like
you're kind of still like down closer in level, like you're not so removed from your fans that you can't do that kind of thing. Yeah.
And it also is a testament to how much the cast like cares about it.
Yeah.
Too, is like it's not just a job for them. It's not just like a thing that they do. They are genuinely excited that people are like listening to their D&D game.
Yeah.
And so is that how they found out about Spell? You became friends with them and were like, hey, my partner's doing this thing.
Yeah, so the introductory email I wrote to them was like, I sometimes do this thing where like I get probably more heartfelt than people like expect. And I was like, I really want to like help you grow and like grow along with you. Can I put a banner for your thing on my site? And they're like, yeah, that would be like amazing and great. Can we do anything like for you in return? And I was like, well, my partner is just about to launch the first Kickstarter for Spell, and it didn't fund, which is good because we didn't know what we were doing. But my like one request was that they would do some advertisement for him, that they would like do a stream or something, like if it wasn't too much trouble. And they were like, yeah, we can totally do that. And also we'll give you a plug, because plug your thing too. So yeah, that's how that sort of happened.
It's like a nice kind of like mutual, we're gonna support each other relationship, which you can see by like the fact that they post all of this fan art like in world. It's not even just like, here's all the fan art people sent this. Your fan art exists in the fiction of the game. That's really cool.
Do we want to move on to the final question?
Yeah.
Final question.
Wait, no, I need that. I need more of that. I need to keep going, Ethan. I need to pump up this, please.
I don't want to get like the thing silenced or whatever.
You don't want to get content ID'd because you're just
yeah.
It was such a good impression. Good
mouth trumpets.
So correct. See, perfect.
Oh,
perfect.
It was so good. I couldn't even tell. I didn't know you had a trumpet there in the recording.
Did you just play
room.
A real trumpet?
Wow. Okay. Sorry. As we do every time on blah, 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 blah. Here's our
You want to give that a second take?
No. Just do
okay.
That take. No.
Perfect.
Yeah, so the question that we always ask, fill in the blank. If you like blank, you'll like Dangerous Intent.
If you like anime and Dungeons and Dragons, you will like Thrilling Intent.
It's a very big Venn diagram.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like there's actually a lot of crossover.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like most people I know like both of those things.
Don't we really just play tabletop RPGs so we can feel like we're in an anime? Is that not why you guys do it?
Everyone talks about their D&D game has to have a beach episode and a hot springs episode, and you know, so
my favorite episodes.
I want like the weird filler episodes where like just they become fish for an episode and then they just do something and they're fish. Like that's, I feel like there isn't enough of those in our D&D games. That's the new, you know, now everyone's doing beach episodes, everyone's doing hot springs.
You eat the cheese and now you're mouse guard.
Yeah.
I hate hot springs episodes.
What? Oh, okay.
In anything.
That seems very accurate to you.
They're always the same scene. Always.
Yeah, that's the point.
Like, it's the same plot line. Never mind.
Ethan has a problem with tropes.
Tropes.
So anime is understandably...
It upsets me. A lot.
Oh, no.
I was watching Little Witch Academia and my boyfriend was like in the room with me, so he was watching it with me, and he also didn't know anything about anime and was just like, what genre is this? I can't tell if it's like a romance. I was like, the genre is anime. Like, this is a thing, you know, like all of the characters, like the tsundere character, and like he was like, why is he just terrible? Why do people like him? Like, because they don't know, because if you don't know that the dere is coming, you're just like, he's just like,
trope anime.
He's just mean.
Like, anatrope.
Anatrope. Trope-a-me. I like trope-a-me.
Trope-a-me?
Trope-a-me. It rolls off the tongue a little better, I think. Anyway, thank you so much for being on our show twice.
Yeah, thank you for having me twice.
Recurring guest.
Whoa. That no one will hear the first instance of.
It's all right. Well,
close enough.
It lives on in our hearts. Or yes. We could release the part
just you guys,
just Ethan and I talking.
Blank audio most of the show.
Yeah. Well, yes, thank you so much for coming. We defeated it. We did it.
Yes.
It's done. It's out there. If people want to find out more about you, if people want to talk to you, see your art, how can they do that?
You can find me specifically on Twitter at Rainy Day Mariah. I use Rainy Day Mariah for a lot of handles, or at least DeviantArt, which I hardly ever update, but it's a gallery full of art. And then I also do a webcomic, which would be super if any of you guys listening would like to check out. It's called Rainy Day Dreams, hence Rainy Day Mariah. And you can find it at rainydaydreams.mariahcurry.com. And that's Curry spelled C-U-R-R-E-Y.
What is the webcomic about?
So it's about Tristan, who is a human mortal girl who goes on a treasure hunt, but kind of gets in over her head when it turns out the place she's going to is actually like an Axis Mundi world tree, and she gets lost in this parallel dimension that's where monsters come from, and then is taken in by like a crotchety ex-knight psychic named Mara, and then they are joined by Michael, who is a broody vampire boy who's very cute and I like him a lot. He's my good vampire son.
Is this why you have the poll? So listeners, she has this great poll on her website, which you should all vote on, about what kind of tears vampires cry. Are they normal water-based tears or really edgy blood tears?
I voted for glitter.
That wasn't an option. I told you were banned.
That's why you won't see my answer.
Yes, that is why I have it.
That's why you have it? Okay, so...
There is, so the current chapter that's happening is a big thing about Mara's backstory, and then after that we're gonna get more into, like, Michael. He's gonna cry a lot, just as a spoiler, and I need to know what he cries.
Alright, so go to Mariah's website and vote on really edgy blood tears.
Yes, please.
Or I mean, water-based
or
tears.
Or water. Either's fine.
If that's where you feel like your heart is, if that's what you really think vampires cry is saline, but we all know it's blood. Thank you to Mariah for being on the show, the cast of Thrilling Intent for having a show for us to talk about, Jeff for being an audio sorcelock, and you, yes, you, right now, listening to this podcast in your ears. Thanks for doing that.
If you want to tell us what you thought about this episode or suggest a show for future episodes, you can tweet us at Too Many RPGs, or you can contact Lauren at JL_NiceGirl.
Or Ethan at SuperRobotBear. If you like this episode, please leave us a review on iTunes and give us a follow, a subscription, and recommend us to your friends. It really helps us out and gives us the will to keep podcasting.
Catch you next time, because there are just too many RPGs.
Bye-bye.